Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Neil Baker Sidekick Hour. So glad you could join us today. I'm Kristen, the Morning Neil. Here we are. We've got some callers in the queue, and today we are discussing the solitary room of the astral realm and, of course, taking your calls for readings on the air. And our phone number for listeners, 914-338-0164. And, of course, as always, we invite you to join us right here on Blog Talk Radio, as well as on Facebook and Twitter. Also, 562-596-7818 is the number to call if you would like further conversation after the radio show. And again, 914-338-0164 is our listener line. But the solitary room, probably not a place where many of us want to go. And the reason that we did this show today is because a client who, of course, we're going to protect the privacy of, relayed a dream to you where she actually astral projected to the solitary room, and what she encountered or who she encountered in the solitary room was someone famous, we won't say who that is either, who died from a suicide, and this person was alone at a table. Neil, you can fill in the blanks because I wasn't present for this conversation, but you related to me, of course.
Well, the solitary room, ultimately, a lot of us end up in the solitary room of the astral plane, and sometimes we end up there before we die.
But when we're astral projecting in our dream state, like she did.
Yeah, you can then go to the solitary room, and the solitary room basically is one of the rooms in the astral realm where souls go to evaluate their life, and given the conditions of their life at the time of their death or what they did in their life during their lifetime, that is part of the content of the solitary room. Now, the solitary room involves basically the individual soul. There's no one there you can blame. There's no one there you can talk to. There's no one there you can say, well, I did this because of that or this person or that person. You're basically alone in the solitary room. And when you're alone in the solitary room, you're facing what you did in your life and how you handled your life. Now, some of us can escape going there, especially if we transcend at the point of our death. Then we don't have to go to that room. But given the fact that we leave the earth with some sense of karma, relatively speaking, how dark that karma is, we end up in the solitary room. And like I said, in that room, we begin to confront ourselves. A lot of times suicides go there. So the suicide condition of going into the solitary room is, that was one of the individuals that was in the solitary room was a famous individual who committed suicide, and he was there by himself. What sometimes happens is they do get visitors, especially if there's a connection. And those visitors occur during the time of the visitor's sleep when their soul ventures into the solitary room where there may be an individual there confronting their energy and their situation. But in that regard, when we die, there comes a point on the other side where we cannot blame anyone or anything for our problems. Our souls are in a kind of a judgment realm whereby we have to converse with the conduct of our life irrespective of what influenced or what caused us to do a certain action. we're responsible for our own actions. So, for instance, if we commit suicide, that's murder. And we can't go to the solitary room and say, well, I committed suicide because of this or because of that. The plain fact is that the individual did not deal with their life to any great extent upon which they were able to transcend the situation because of the spirit and the soul, and they decided to end their life. So then they end up in the solitary room. Now, the solitary room, you do a lot of contemplation there. You contemplate your life, why you did what you did. Of course, you're out of your body now, so you've got all the answers. A lot of the answers are already available to you, and you realize, my God, why would I commit murder upon myself for the problems I had when measured against eternity and the spiritual realm, they were so small and life was so brief. And the issues and the elements of the spirit and the soul are so important that I'm supposed to protect that spirit and that soul within my body. And if I don't, if I kill the body, then ultimately the spirit and the soul gets hurt.
Right. And so it's not only suicides that can end up there after death, Neil, isn't it? People that abuse their body to the point of it to expire because of treating it poorly.
Yeah, abuse and all kinds of things you can do. Actions upon even your fellow person, all of that.
Right. I mean, I'm sure if you murder people also, you can get exiled to a room that is similar.
The solitary room, yeah. And, it's much like I used to describe suicide as a state where when you die, you're like in the middle of a long, long, endless deserted road, and you're like at a bus stop or on a bench, and you're just sitting there, and you're waiting and waiting and waiting and waiting, and nothing's coming, and you're waiting out until your own physical life would have been over, and then sometimes an angel appears and energies are conversed and your destination is thereby handled accordingly. But at that point, what we get into is we're getting to the concept of what is the solitary room? What is heaven? What is hell? What are these concepts that we have come up to? Well, we're basically talking about the lower spheres of the astral realm. And in these lower spheres, they're near the earth plane, but they're right beside the earth plane. Some people call it the dark plane, the stony place, purgatory. There's different names that people come up with. But in that area where a lot of wicked people go, and then a lot of people who have just wasted their lives go, Dante had the great work of art, the Divine Comedy, where he described purgatory and different levels of the astral realm and things like that, poetic work. But the element of when we go there and who we see. Now, there are different characters that we can encounter aside from the solitary room. And in those areas, we can encounter lower angels, which be more or less more. They're the lower angels, meaning they're angels separated from God. And there are angels that have decided to separate themselves from God.
So we're talking about a darker angel that are not on the side of God, like somewhat like Lucifer, but not.
Yeah,
to that extreme.
There are darker angels, and they reside in the lower place.
So they're associated with hell.
They're on the border of the dark plane, and in that area where there's few dwellings, there's more desolation and isolation. So you're getting more into the element of what this solitary room is. And should we happen to go there, some of us go there even in our dreams. We have terrible nightmares and we don't understand where we are. And it's just terrible. It's a region we're not familiar with on the earth plane. That's when our astral body is going to the dark plane, meaning that there's already been prepared a place for us there. We don't start to wise up.
You're stating that if we have an astral journey to a darker place, that means we may be headed there? I mean, is that
Might really be true? Sure.
Oh, gosh.
It very well could be. I mean, we're all susceptible to those areas.
But isn't it true if you're beginning to journey outside your body in the astral realm, you may end up in darker places because you're not accustomed to actually going out into the astral realm? It has to be analyzed, I guess, on an individual basis. But
yeah, it can be. I mean, if you're not, we all astral project during our sleep. And we can end up in rooms like that, just like we all leave the house and we're vulnerable to whatever's out there in the environment. If we're not wise, we can become victims. Even if we are wise and careful, we can become victims of a crime. But if we aren't and we're ignorant and we don't have a proper conscious map or physical map of where we're going, or at least some awareness of where we're going, we can end up being lost. Being lost in the astral plane is pretty scary. But the link is, of course, you have your silver cord, so you're pulled back into your body upon consciousness, so you're okay. But that doesn't mean you don't have experiences. Now, on the other hand, you can leave your body and go to the light. A lot of people do that. They go to the light, they see angels and the kingdom and all this. And that is also part of the energy of the flip side of going to the solitary room. You can go into a room that's filled with angels and guides and spirits. They give you wisdom. They give you insight. All kinds of things can occur up in that area. But for this show, we're talking about the dark plane. We're talking about the border of the dark plane, the solitary room, where we can all end up if we're in the midst of our life and we're not working out the higher self of what we're supposed to do. And we're all responsible for that, I mean, just to a great extent.
Of course, time is not linear when you're on that plane, but someone who, the person that was in the astral or in that solitary room in that dream will probably remain there for the duration of what the normal life would have been, right? And then maybe move to a different, maybe move up, and start working on some soul issues rather than being, I mean, you can't really do anything in that room.
Well,
except contemplate. I mean,
but it is a state of awareness.
Well, it's a state of awareness, but it's like, you know, the activity level. I mean, you're very limited in that room.
Yeah, but you have to understand that you're in the content of spirit. So contemplation in the content of spirit is a lot different than contemplating in the consciousness of the body.
Right.
When you're in the consciousness of the body and you're thinking and you're meditating or whatever it is you're doing, that's a lot different than being purely in, imagine you don't have any body anymore.
Mm-hmm.
There's nothing about the body that is the brain is connected to. In fact, there's no brain. There's just a level of energy consciousness. And that energy consciousness still retains the elements of earthly life. Now, those elements of earthly life turn into energy, too. So we have positive energy and negative energy. And if we don't have enough positive energy, well, we can be overwhelmed by evil.
So what,
and if we do, then we can overcome evil.
So what can happen, like, for that specific individual that's in the solitary room currently? What might their journey look like on the other side? After, say, they would have lived to 80 years old. So they're in the solitary room, according to Earth time, until that point. And then what might happen? Does it depend on the content of their contemplation in that room?
Well,
they're going to go
they're
next?
They're confronted with the meaning of spirituality and how far they deviated from spirituality when they're on the planet. And so, of course, if, you know, the further you are deviating from spirituality and the essence of God and light and all that, the deeper you are in that room, the less light there is in that room, the more confrontation there is with darkness in that room. That's why, you know, you have to walk in the light. You have to be in the light, because if you carry the light from within, no matter what's going on in your world, if you have light within you, then when you leave that, you're going to carry that light with you. If you despair and are in darkness throughout your lifetime, well, what light do you expect to come out? I mean, you know, people think, well, when we die, the angels will come and they'll give us light.
And we'll have grace and they'll say, wow, it was so, and God will say, it was so hard. You had a hard time. We understand. I mean, this is kind of, I don't know why my thinking morphed. I mean, I was really raised to believe, you know, thou shalt not kill. And then, you know, we feel such compassion for people who end their lives that we think there's going to be some kind of
compassion. Compassion's good. Compassion and prayer and empathy.
And absolutely, I have compassion for people. I don't want to state, you know, I don't want to.
Of course, so do I. We have compassion. But that doesn't mean that we don't have a rigid set of rules about light and darkness. What is sacred and what is not sacred? What is of God and what is of, if you want to call me, the devil or Satan? Darkness.
I think sometimes
Yeah.
Well, I was going to say, I think sometimes when you are raised with a religious background, with spirituality, when you start to deviate from that, then you try to, you know, change, you start to change your thinking because of the rigidness of that system. Can be so confining, and maybe, you know, you want to challenge those rules. However, there is a balance, you know.
Well, there's a balance. I mean, being in the light doesn't have to be rigid, and being in the light doesn't have to be filled with the fear of damnation. Being in the light is the enjoyment of life, the nourishment of existence, the pleasure of knowing that there's a God, that there's angels, that we're on this planet in a great severe test of the will between spirit and body, and that we work towards the spirit and less towards the body. Now, those are the elements that comprise the eternal journey of the soul upon death of the body. And those are the positions of thought that we should carry with us in our lifetime. And people ascribe to different methods or different ways of looking at God, but still in the concept of God, I mean, God will judge us accordingly. God is our true judge, and God knows whether we are in the light or we're not in the light. So we're not here to judge a certain religion or a certain philosophy. We're here to judge the vibration of spirituality. That is most important. Now, there's a specific way to get there. That's a personal belief. That's not what I'm going to expound on the radio show, my personal belief. But the element, the whole world, the astral realm is something I can't express without biasness, because it's like saying, well, the city is filled with cars and you have to obey by the laws, but you know, the conduct of how you operate in the city is a whole different matter. So the astral realm is something I've walked through, I've seen, I've encountered, but the intricate design and the intricate nature of that, well, I've been in, you know, fortunately, maybe not fortunately, but I've visited rooms where souls have gone that have been in the solitary space and have considered good and evil, and the wanderings of the soul upon death, and what it means in terms of their lifehood.
Right, and I remember when I first came here, we had contacted some people that had been lost to suicide, or you know, some kind of negative energy in their life that ended their life, but. There are different rooms, and that's what I was going to ask. I mean, I know yourself, was it your uncle or cousin? I can't remember, that committed suicide, and you visited an area in your astral journey where he was, and it was like a rust saloon.
Yeah.
So I don't think you even went down to the room.
It was like a rough house.
Right.
So
why would he be there versus the solitary room? I mean, it's...
Well,
for what,
you know,
reason?
My uncle died from a gunshot wound. He shot himself in the head. So it was a violent way to go.
So that's why he ended up in this kind of raucous environment.
Violent way to go. And he informed...
Yeah, but isn't suicide always, I mean, it's kind of violent.
It is. There's
violent.
Always a degree of violence. And how souls are channeled and where they go. I know my uncle, when he committed suicide... his soul was in the residence that I was in at the time, and there was a loud slamming of a door, and he showed me the world he lived in, and it was like a saloon with a lot of people fighting, and he invited me to go down to even a lower realm to encounter something else, which I refused to go down to. I was too scared. I didn't want to go down there. But you know, that's what's so interesting about the divine Dante's Inferno. The individual does go down into the astral realm and sees purgatory and sees where all the souls are and sees the torture of everything. And so you know, I mean, that's a piece of literature. But I take it to heart. I mean, those realms are there, and the solitary place of where we go to really think about our lives. That's why we go into meditation now. We go into meditation to contemplate God. We go into meditation to connect to the universe. That's the enlightenment of meditation. meditation isn't meant to go to a solitary place so we can kill ourselves.
No.
It's to go to a solitary place to connect to God. I mean, even Christ did that. He goes out into the wilderness and connects to God in silence in the garden. And it doesn't mean that you can't experience pain there, but what it does mean is that you should not disconnect from God. And as long as you have that connection and you're in the light, well, then you at least have a saving grace that that's on record. And that you're not despairing, you know. So people who think, well, you know, a person committed suicide and left a note, you know, I hope the angels come receive me, or I'm sorry for what I did. There's still the act itself that has to be defined and analyzed upon the exit of the body.
Right, and you won't transcend. I mean, the answer is, even if you go to that room and then you've been there for a certain period of silence, then you don't ascend after that. You get sent back into the body.
Well, that's what I understood. I mean, by the grace of God, maybe there are people who escape that, the predicament. But, you know, I'm not going to sit here on the planet and say that you can commit suicide and things are going to be okay and you're going to escape the solitary room. I can't say that. It's just not a... me saying, you know, you can drive 150 miles down the street, I'm sure you won't get caught or kill anybody. It's just not recommended.
Okay, let's take our caller here, 954 area code. Hello? Well, they dropped. This is interesting. We have nobody left right now for some reason, you know? And our caller dropped. What would you like to do? Right as I took them on.
They dropped. Was there a phone number?
Was there a phone number? Yes, there was.
Okay. Well, you know, I mean, until we wait for a caller. Speaking about the astral realm, other parts of the astral realm aren't as dark. Of course, there's elements in the astral realm that are filled with life, so enriching and colorful. We can actually go to that place. We can actually leave our body and channel our body into the astral realm and on a route that leads to a past life. We can see our past lives spread out before us. We can even see the reenactment of our past lives in the astral realm. Now, that may be perceived as a dream that we might be having that's rather bizarre, but nonetheless, there are ways to go through the into the astral realm and experience a past life, or experience something that happened on the soul plane before you came down to the planet, or even whereby you can venture on a detour into the future and see the future events unraveling in your life, given that you can go there. A lot of times what happens is we're greeted by our guide. When we leave our body at night, typically our guide is with us. We may not be conscious of it.
Right. I wish I could recall being with a guide, but I can't in my dreams. I mean, I recall figures that I don't recognize, but never do I have a consistent energy in my dream state that I'm
with. That's not really your fault. The guide will erase your memory.
Mm.
The guide is not... The guide is your real main guide between lifetimes. When you come into the world, your guide is beside you, but the work that has been done has been done before you came down to the planet. That's where your guide holds the most significant interaction with you. When you leave the body and the astral body is connecting to the guide at that point in time, after all the conversations and the encounters are done for that trip, the guide will simply wave his hand over the body and erase your memory. And your memories erase of it. Why is that? Because we're in a test. It's a test. It's like saying you study, you're looking in the book, you study, you go to the classroom, and the teacher says, put down your books, take away your notes, take your test. You can't really cheat. And what the guide does is there's a sense of kind of cheating with the guide, because the guide will say, now here's what we're supposed to be doing. Remember what we said. Remember what our rules are. It's just like you can't take your trainer into the boxing ring with you. You're on your own. So the memory of that. Now, can you remember? Is there a way to remember? Yes.
So are you saying
astral memory?
So the dreams or the journeys that you have with your guide often won't be dreams that are recalled in the conscious state?
They won't be, but you can maintain some level or retain some level of memory by cultivating the astral mind of your body, meaning the energy of your astral body. And that can contain the molecules, the energy field of memory, to where you can remember. That's where people have acute memories of past lives, or they have vividly remembered their dreams, and they can spontaneously interpret their dream as they're having it, and they know specifically what's going on. A lot of people in the waking state can even bring back their dream. That's why we have recall. That's why several of us remember our dreams. Now, the interpretation of dream is another matter, because what God has set up is that we have a dream and then we have interpreters who interpret dreams. And the dream, that's not even biblical passages where dreams are interpreted.
Right.
They were experienced.
And if you use a dream book, because there are a lot of dream books out there with the symbols that I think they can be very misleading, actually.
Well, the dream books, they're compiled by a history of what certain things may symbolize.
Right, and so you get into generalizations, unfortunately.
You get into generalizations because it's not the symbols are the first footstone for what something may be. You know, you have a dream and you have a symbol, and so then you interpret that symbol according to what maybe has been classified. But that doesn't mean specifically that every time you have a subject in a dream that it's always going to have the same interpretation, or it's going to symbolize something. People say, well, I dreamed of flowers. Oh, it's going to be a celebration. There could be a funeral.
Right.
It could be something to do with growth. Those flowers could represent a chakra system.
Right.
They could represent insects. They could represent all kinds of things. So it doesn't, you have to be able to have the art of interpretation. That's the art of discernment, to be able to understand what is the element that you're dealing with and how to make that specification and justification that your interpretation is sound and according to what's been going on in the content of the dream. So, you know, we have those elements that are important, but when you're when we're getting back to the topic of the solitary room, it is a solitary room, but we're filled with spirit in that room. And so we have to remember that when we go to a solitary space, we're not alone. We carry in any solitary room of our existence the awareness of all of time, the awareness of God, the awareness of angels, the awareness of evil, the awareness of light. We hold all of that in our cosmic consciousness. Now, we may not have direct access to it, but we all know it. We all came from another realm, and we're down here for a very brief time, and we're down here for specific reasons.
We all came from another realm?
We all came from another realm.
Let's get into that a little bit. We all came from another realm. So, you know, a lot of people believe that they're from different planets or different astral
places. Well, so be it. No one on the planet can say where somebody else, you know, the claim of being somewhere, the true test is whether
the Pleiadians
or
whatever,
not whether it sounds ridiculous or not. So the we all came. Christ himself said, I'm not of this world. Well, what world is he of?
Right,
what
but
world
Christ
did he come
has
from?
A different substance than most human beings that are walking on the planet.
Well, it represents the totality of humankind. And when God breathes into us through the nostrils, not the mouth, the nostrils, he breathes into us a living soul. Now, a soul, no doctor is going to be able to say, well, you know, your soul needs, we took your soul out, and it needs a few vitamins.
And that's why we breathe through our nose, to activate the third eye instead of the mouth.
Yeah, because that third eye is of the soul. It's not of the body.
Mm-hmm.
So we're very concerned about our body. Well, we have our body. We're housed with our body. We should be concerned about our body, you know. You have termites, you're concerned about your roof. You have your home. You're concerned about the encasement what occupies your soul. You have to be concerned about it because it's part of the journey, the brief journey of our life down here. But the elements of the soul are a lot different. The body is not going to go to the solitary place. The soul goes there. And when the soul is there, it goes, after upon the astral journey, it goes back into the body and it carries that energy with us. So the soul and the body, now we get into the communication of the soul and the body. How does the soul and the body communicate to each other? Through awareness. First of all, through awareness. If you're an atheist, obviously you have no need for awareness. You just hear, you're doing your life, and then poof, you're gone. That's it. And existentially speaking, the only issues of morality is what you feel inside of yourself, what your own self-made meaning is in terms of the ethics, right or wrong, good or bad, light or dark, and a kind of Nietzsche kind of quality. Of
from an intellectual standpoint rather than a spiritual standpoint, brain-based
ethics. Also spirit. Well, you can be an atheist and still be spiritual. You can, an atheist is someone who does not believe in a supreme being, a maker, someone who made man, a supreme being, a god with a long beard, whatever you want to call it. An atheist does not believe in God. Can an atheist be spiritual? Absolutely. Can an atheist have passion, emotions? Can an atheist be amazed by the cosmos? Can an atheist believe that there's life on other planets? Yes. An atheist just doesn't believe in the concept of God, the religious concept of God. But those of us who hold God in a different form, in a different context, and believe God is sacred.
I haven't personally met any spiritual atheists. I mean, I'm sure they exist. I believe you're right, but I've never personally met any.
Well, Kierkegaard, basic existentialism, the beginning of that man has to place meaning in the universe, and that without man's meaning in the universe is meaningless because there is no God directing it, there is no divine plan. The beginning of that does have a spiritual nature because we have to recognize that man, woman are spiritual creatures. We dream, we have visions, we're artists. We try to interpret the universe. We're abstract beings. We create, we invent. There's something where we have inspiration. So there's something about that, even if it's in terms of music, literature, sculpture, art, all of that is a basis of spirituality. It all depends on how you define spirituality. The confusion with atheism and spirituality is that spirituality is not derived by a supreme being. There isn't a supreme being and there isn't a God. There isn't a matter of obeying something that doesn't exist. And so therefore, spirituality takes on a different meaning. It takes on a personal meaning within a person's concept of what spirit is. And that is devoid of a supreme being God. So, but even Einstein acknowledge the presence of God and the energy of the universe in that respect. So you can be a scientist and still believe in God. I guess it's the way the brain is framed and the evolution, the involvement of the brain in terms of the belief pattern. So it is still, we're dealing with a belief. We believe, we have faith. These become elements of spirituality. And whether you believe, you know, someone could say, well, you know more because you believe in God, you're more spiritual than me. I don't believe in God, but I feel like I'm spiritual. Well, they have a case. You can't argue spirit, but you can take sides with spirit, what spirituality really means. And then when we get into that solitary place where someone would say, that's the most ridiculous thing I ever heard. Yeah. So according to the way I think, so if I'm an atheist, am I going to go to that solitary room? Am I going to sit there? Some people would find that to be a ridiculous notion that there is anything in connected to the element of judgment or purgatory or hell or heaven. These are aspects that are based upon belief. Some belief is based upon the word. And some belief is based upon just faith or theory or myths or whatever it may be. but we're still dealing with the concept of where the soul goes. I mean, the Egyptians, you go into the underworld, you go into the underworld, you travel, you have to have your belongings with you, you have to have your possessions with you, you have to have your gods to protect you. Everyone seems to have some kind of belief. Why do we bury? Where did burials occur? Primitive societies buried and had sacred ritual energies because they believed that there's a journey beyond the body. So when we get into the idea that there's a journey beyond the body, then we get into the idea that there's realms, there's dimension.
Well, that brings me to another, because we're talking about the solitary room, but also the astral realm and the rooms in the astral realm. What about self-creation in the astral realm? Because, you know, there are people that believe that you can create whatever environment you want once you die. Which I don't personally agree with, obviously, because, you know, and also, people that state that you can, in creating that environment that you want, you're going to create something that mimics something on the earth, which is kind of amusing because the astral realm, of course, you know, we get so caught up in our earthly lives that we think that everything is based around our life on earth, when in fact, if you're a spiritual being and aware of the fact that the earth is not the end-all be-all of the universe, that there's so much more out there.
Well, we tend to forget. Creation in the astral realm, in the spiritual realm, is not the same as creation in the physical plane.
Right.
So it's a whole different concept. What we do creatively on the astral realm is leagues away from what we do creatively on in the physical realm.
You know what? We have a caller, Neil. I'd like to talk a little bit more about this, but I would like to also take our caller since we've had such a light day here today. Let's bring them on. 503, hello.
Oh, hi, Neil and Kristen. This is Barb.
Hi, Barb. How are you?
Hi, I'm good. Do you want my birthday?
Yes, please.
Okay, it's 6/24/69.
6/24/69. Thank you very much, Barb. How have you been?
I've been good, and I've been enjoying listening to your show. I love to hear different perspectives, and so thank you.
Great. What's your question today? Thank you for
I'm wondering if you can just do kind of a general reading for me.
Sure.
Have we done a general reading for Barb?
Yeah, I think we've done a general, but it's been a while, right, Barb?
Yeah, yes.
Yeah.
Well, you know, you're 46 years old right now, Barb. And
she's a 37-10-1, right?
Yeah. And yeah. That's the element of the heart and the third eye. So your journey right now is filled with heart and vision. That's where you're supposed to be right now. Significantly enough, your age, 46, is the third number in your birth date and the first number in your birth date.
Yeah.
And that element between is a two. So that element between is a two, which suggests what?
Well, I hope partnership.
Well, creativity, partnership, yeah.
Okay.
Now, in your journey, but in the linear line of your journey, you're between the 6 and 9 of your year, which is vision and eternal energy. Power. So you're about to element. You're about to enter a realm of new dimensions. So when you're in this zone, and this June actually you'll be 47, so you'll be 10 years beyond your karmic energy of 37, and 10 happens to be part of your master number. So from this point to the end of the age of 47. You're probably going to be entering a lot of new things. Now, that can be in the form of creativity. Creativity in terms of your job, creativity in terms of your spiritual positioning on the planet, the way that you envision the elevation of your spirit, your meditation and your interest in the higher realms, the more of the esoteric, the subtle realms of existence, which gets into the idea of spirit. And guides like that. You're also, I think, going to encounter an animal. So an animal may enter your life, a pet, an animal.
Okay.
And do you have any plans to have any pets, or are you totally averse to that?
No, I do have a pet. Yeah, I mean, okay. I have a dog, but I wasn't planning to have a new pet. So, you never know.
You never know. How old is your dog now? 6 or 7 or younger or older?
Yes. Yeah, 6. Yeah.
Yeah. So, see, I'm connecting to your dog right now. Your dog's energy is coming to me. So there's going to be something new added to the dimension of your dog.
Okay.
Your dog may get a new friend. I don't know. There may be something connected to your relationship with your animal. You have this dog for a reason, even beyond what your conception of why do I have this animal? Why is this dog with me? The dog is karma. The dog comes from a past life.
Yeah, we're very connected. I know he can feel me, you know, in different moods, and he's pretty sensitive.
Yeah, a very gentle, loving dog, but very perceptive, very attuned to your emotions, and ultimately very protective, but not a, you know, the dog wouldn't, like, bite somebody on the street, right? Am I right?
Right, but he might attack another dog.
Yeah. Well, I didn't say another dog. I said a person. More friendly to people. Maybe, you know, smell their hand cautiously, but then you pat him and he looks at the person and kind of wags his tail, but then he acts bored with them.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, exactly. I always feel like when he is sort of like crazy, when he kind of goes wild around the other dog, I sense that it is he's being protective of me. Because he really only does it with me. Hello?
Connection. Is the dog's a male, you were saying?
Yes, he is a male.
Yeah, very protective. He just has that element. Now, the other thing is that there's either going to be a Jack or a Tim coming around you soon. That name.
Okay. Okay. I hope it's a good thing.
Hi, can she hear us?
Maybe not.
Barb, are you there?
Yes, I'm here. I can hear you.
Can you hear? We can't hear you. So a Jack or a Tim? Did you hear that?
Yes.
Okay. Do you know a Jack or a Tim?
I don't, but I hope that's a good thing.
Yeah. Are you in a relationship now, Barb?
I am not, and I'm ready for one. So.
Okay, then look for a Jack or a Tim as a signpost, as at least a sign. If not the person, there'll be a sign, Jack or Tim.
Okay.
And look for that.
Great.
Okay, Barb, well, thanks for connecting. Nice to hear from you.
Thank you so much. Bye-bye.
You're very welcome. Okay, take care. All right, 239 is our next. This is kind of a strange day today. And I'm having problems here with the internet. 203 dropped. What the heck? I'm sorry, 239. 239, if you can hear us, call back because we're having some problems with the switchboard here. 860, you're on the air. Hello. Hi, who's
there? Hi, thank you. My name is Lisa.
Oh, hi, Lisa.
Hi.
Could we get your birth date again, please?
Excuse me?
Could we get your birth date, please?
Oh, 126-1959.
And 239 is back, so we see you there. We'll get to your call in a few minutes. Thanks for calling back. So, Lisa, if you don't hear us at some point during this reading, just hang on because we're having some technical difficulties. What's your question?
I'm wondering about my son and our relationship, if it's going to be restored at all.
Okay, so that's been the consistent question when you've called, and nothing's changed since your last call to
us? He's gotten married, and there's a baby due any day, and I'm not supposed to know about any of it. I'm just very, 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 I'm very broken. I'm
sorry.
Having a hard time.
Sorry to hear that. Okay.
Well, I don't know. You know, we've done some readings before to try to bring the two of you together. It could require something more intense. As far as I'm concerned, it could require something more intense than a mere radio reading on the radio.
I did a Christmas reading with you, Neil.
Yeah, I mean, since Christmas, that was like six, you know, 5 months ago. I understand. The only thing. You know, the idea of cracking through this, there's been no communication at all since then.
I keep sending cards and leaving loving messages, nothing.
Well, the element and his probably the people around him are not helping at all, if you know what I mean.
No, they're not.
Yeah. So sometimes what happens, Lisa, oh boy, sometimes what happens is that there needs to be more applied direct energy, I guess I would say. And that's by choice, you know. In other words, yeah, December, but sometimes that's not enough. Especially if we've got such a severe block that's going on, then it requires more intense work. I mean, that might be one option. The other, what can I see about it? Having a baby. There seems to be a powder blue color around you, powder blue. So I don't know yet. Powder blue is basically, well, if you look at powder blue, it kind of intermingles with the lower third eye. It's kind of a weak third eye, but there's some sense of vision there. I'm also getting, as I'm speaking to you, and I can't recall, but I'm getting a terrible theme of drugs. I don't know what kind of drugs yet, but there's like drugs, like pot or something. I can't recall. Was that ever in the family situation? A lot of pot smoking?
I don't know what happened to him once he was with her. I know that he was drinking a lot of hard alcohol. He had never taken a drink in his life. He was with her.
Could be that, right?
Yeah, so when he was with her, he started drinking. You know that for a fact?
A fact. A lot of hard alcohol. We were shocked. Because he wouldn't take a drink because he said it burned up brain cells.
Yeah. Well, there's, you know, the elements, the spirits, if you will, of drink, the spirits that consume the brain and drive people into courses of thought that are just negative and selfish and delusional is a problem. I don't know what to say. The only thing I can say to you is this. I'm going to give you an image on the radio today. That image is that I know when we talk about pink ribbons and things like that, we're talking about, you know, breast cancer and stuff. But I'm giving you the element of a pink ribbon in terms of a different, it's coming from a different astral realm. I just want to share that image with you, but stamp it with communication with sun. And maybe that ribbon signifies something else. Because pink ribbons weren't always synonymous with breast cancer. You know, pink ribbons meant something else. I think in the depth of history, pink ribbons were basically presents, babies, things like that. Something more joyful. And
the girl do today.
What?
Today's her day.
What?
She's supposed to be having a baby girl on April.
Oh, that's
6th
right.
Today.
She's the baby. Maybe it's because of the baby.
Yeah.
She's,
what is it?
She's the wife is having a baby.
Girl.
Is it a girl? You know that for a fact?
Yeah, from the things online. You know, they put those buying.
Maybe that's why. Maybe that's why you're getting the pink ribbon. Of course.
I'm going to put a blessing. I'm going to put a prayer out. That then. See, I didn't know that. So I'm going to now that the image is confirming something else. I'm going to put an image out that the birth of this baby girl opens up a door for your communication with your son.
Thank you.
Okay.
All right,
Let's
Lisa.
See where that goes.
Okay. Thanks for your call.
Right. Thank you so much.
All right. 239 is our last caller.
Hello.
Hi there. Glad you called back.
Yeah, hi, this is Martha.
Martha?
Yes.
And your birth date, please.
12/24/66.
56 or 66? 66. Thank you. And your name, how do you spell your name?
Martha.
So it is Martha, Martha. Okay. I didn't know if there was an H or not. Okay. And what's your question? 4, 5, 6.
Well, I have a question. I feel like there's somebody around me. I can feel there's an energy around me and I don't know who it is.
Okay, Martha, I'm going to start off on the first note. You're 49, but obviously your grandfather passed over, right?
Yes.
Now, we just say yes or no. That's all. Were you close to your grandfather?
Never met him.
You never met him?
He died way before I was born.
So there's something connected. There's something there. I feel there's something connected to what you're feeling around you is in that.
Hello.
So I think you are connecting to something. I feel there's an energy around you and it's connected to that side of the family.
So you said my mother or my father, I couldn't hear you.
Well, your grandfather, you said you never knew your grandfather.
Both of them, I never met them.
Oh, so this would be on your father's side.
Okay.
Somebody on your father, I know most of the time using your father, things like that, but this is on the father's side of your family. You're connecting to somebody on the father's side of your family.
Okay.
That's the first thought I've got. Who had a lot of pets, dogs, cats, even maybe even a horse, but who was connected to animals?
Well, I don't know. Maybe my grandmother's father, they live in the country.
Uh-huh. So they live in the
country. But that would be from my mother's side. I don't know anybody, like from my father's family, I know very little about them.
Martha, is your father crossed over? Did your father cross over?
No. Not yet. Not yet, but I don't speak with him. My mother is still alive also, and both my grandmothers passed away already a long time ago.
Uh-huh. And you don't speak to your father?
No.
You don't speak to your father?
No, I haven't spoken to him in probably 20 years.
And why is that?
Because he left. He left the family. He abandoned us.
I see. Well, the presence that you feel around you is probably trying to resolve some issues with yourself and that part of your family. That's what I'm getting. Do you have a daughter?
Okay.
Do you have a daughter?
No, I had a kitty cat that was like my daughter, but she passed.
Oh.
Well, you have a cat. We were talking about animals before. I don't know. There's something, the presence that's around you, it's kind of a patchwork of interpretation, but the presence around you has to do with your father's side of the family.
Okay.
And it has to do with something that is concerning your own self in relation to feeling rejected or having a problem. A lot of times spirits that come around us is because there's something unresolved.
Okay.
And so there seems to be something unresolved that, to me, the spirit that's around you, what have you felt real quickly? Why have you felt a presence? What's your goal?
It's around me for the last couple. I can smell it. There is a smell that follows me, and there is like a male presence. I feel it's male, and it's persistent. It doesn't go away when I ask it to go away, which normally happens to me. They just go away. But this one, I feel you're right. It's somehow connected to me, but I don't know. It scares me a little because it smells bad. You know, it doesn't smell good.
Yeah, I'll tell you what it is, Martha. Your karma, coming on the planet, you have a bad karma with men. You just, your father, you don't, you know, in terms of yourself as a...
Hello? 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 Hello. Hello. Hello.
That's what it is. Martha, can you hear us? No, she's still there. Let me bring her on. Martha, can you hear us? Can you hear
yeah,
us?
Yeah, now I can hear you. Yes.
Sorry. You know, it's that router, I think, extender. Go on with what you were saying, and then we got to wrap
saying,
up.
Yeah, I'm saying real quickly, Martha, you came into the planet with a karma with men. And there's something, that's why it smells bad. Because there's a spirit that's saying your relationship with men is not good. It's got to change. So what your spirit that's probably attempting to change the energy you have with men, but it comes in with as a spirit that feels like a male because your relationship mm-hmm. with males are not good. Are you a single woman?
I have a great relationship with men. My best men are very attracted to me. I love men. Men love me. But but in the intimate relationships, I have a lot of fear. I kind of get lost when I am in a relationship. But I do have great relationships with men and of all ages.
No, I don't mean that's not what I meant. That's not what mm-hmm. I meant. What I mean is it in a deeper karmic way. Not
okay.
I don't mean it that way. Are you married or not?
No, I'm divorced. Yeah.
You're divorced.
Okay, that's
I'm talking about a different element, Martha.
Okay.
Not that you don't. I'm not saying you don't. You're a good person and you have a good soul and you're attractive and men love you. I don't mean that. I mean that there's a different karma that you have with men, and that's what you're sensing. That's what you're getting. There's something in there that has to be fixed.
Okay.
That's
okay,
I mean.
Martha. Well, you can explore it further by calling us back. You can contact Neil directly, 562-596-7818. So hopefully that's a little bit of insight to start you out, okay?
What's the number of the person again, the number?
562-596-7818. And we are, you're welcome. And we are out of time. We actually had a caller come in, but they dropped too. So it's been a little bit strange, people coming in and out today. We are back on the air on Friday, and that's at 10 a.m. Pacific, 1 p.m. Eastern. Thanks for everybody for joining us.